The Innerbelt Neighborhood Stories Project collects stories from residents who lived in the neighborhoods that were removed by the construction of the Innerbelt Freeway in Akron. This project is part of the City of Akron's efforts to transform the decommissioned section of the Innerbelt Freeway and to document a part of Akron's history that has been largely missing to date. I'm Roger Riddle, and in this segment, we hear from Ms. Anne-Marie Ford as we hear what it was like for her as a child to have to leave a neighborhood she considered part of her extended family, how moving meant losing long-held friendships, and how the pain of being separated from the life they were familiar with never fully healed.
When they first started talking about the Innerbelt was when Ed Davis was councilman. And I remember them when the newspapers come, and I remember them talking about this Innerbelt, but I didn't know what that meant for me. You know, they would read the newspapers and you would hear them sometime talking about it. And you would hear like Councilman Davis, you know, trying to come against it. You know, my parents are like when they would have the meetings or he would come wherever, we didn't get to go, but I guess they were talking about what was going to happen, trying to get them fair prices for their housing and all this other stuff. But the conversations that they had was that he was fighting for it not to come through here. But I think at that time, my father made a decision to move. So we left down in the valley and we moved up on the hill. And I don't know if you've ever gone up Wooster Avenue or Beodum. So you're down in the valley. And as you drive up, you're getting to the hill.
However, moving up the hill meant leaving loved ones, close friends, and all of the relationships that were built while living in the neighborhood where Ms. Ford grew up. Also, it meant moving into a neighborhood that was different and being around all new people. Also attending a new school, which for Ms. Ford was Buchtel.
My great aunt and uncle lived down there on St. Clair. And so they had to move. They didn't want to come up on the hill, so they stayed down on Moon Street. A lot of my friends' homes were displaced all down there, like on Bell, Douglas, and had to move somewhere else. Some of them got close to the top of the hill, but not close enough, because the top of the hill starts at like Noah and all up in there. But we moved further down. We were on Orlando. That neighborhood that we moved into was actually all white. Now that I think about it, is that when I was in the 11th grade, my class was the last class that was predominantly white. There was probably maybe 90% in my senior class, and the other 10 was black. And they built Firestone, and that's where they moved. We bought people's houses, and then they moved over into Firestone District. And then after that, it became predominantly black. Some of them stayed still in the valley, and they ended up going to South. So I didn't get to see them, like Vernon Sykes. He lived over by the post office. He ended up going to South because they had to move. He could have went to Central, but he had to go to South. The kids that I walked to school with, and sometimes we would go like to their house for lunch because, you know, you couldn't eat lunch at school. And we would go over to their house and we would play and jump on the beds and do all kinds of crazy stuff. I had to leave them. That hurt because we were separated. It's almost like getting a divorce, but you really don't want a divorce. And I don't get to see him anymore. They went wherever and I went somewhere else, but you grew up with them from the first grade all the way up to junior high. And now you don't see them anymore. And then they think, you know, now it's kind of like, you know how somebody said, oh, they think they're better than us. That kind of stigma, but I'm not. I'm still Anne-Marie.
Ms. Ford still regularly thinks about moving away from the neighborhood where she felt like everyone around her was an extension of her family.
It bothers me because we probably would have stayed. And, you know, I had to meet new kids at Buchtel versus the kids that I grew up with. So like my friends that I walked from up on Euclid and Bellevue, they were still intact. You know, you lost friends, but I didn't understand until just recently.
On November 8th, 2021, the Akron Beacon Journal published an article titled, What Should Happen to the Innerbelt? Akron to Seek Public Input on Future Redevelopment. It was accompanied by a photo of a group of white men in business attire standing around a scale model of how the Innerbelt was intended to look. For many people in Akron, this was the first time that they learned that a thriving black neighborhood of homes and businesses was removed so that the freeway could be built. Since then, The Beacon Journal has published several more articles highlighting the history of the Innerbelt and the community Akron lost to its construction. For Ms. Ford, the articles have been a reminder and an explanation for what happened in her past. She volunteered to become a member of the Reconnecting Our Community Advisory Committee and share input with the city so that they could use that input in their strategy for what to do with the decommissioned piece of the Innerbelt.
I was devastated. I was crushed. And I would just, when I would go home, I would just cry after our meetings, or sometimes, like one of the meetings, I just had to get up. It was on a Zoom call and I had to get up, and I just went upstairs and I said, I can't listen to them anymore. I just can't, because of the injustice that was done. It's like we didn't matter. Like we didn't matter at all. We had it down here. We didn't ask to go up on the hill. So every time our article came out, I would copy it and print it and keep it for my archives, because I wanted my kids and my grandkids to know that there was history down here. My father's gone now. My mother's gone, but the Yieldings are gone. The Porters are gone, but now their children are here. So when we had a meeting over at Williams Towers yesterday, you could just hear the hurt and how they interjected in their voice. So you know they're hurt, because they're still living with that. We're still living with the hurt. And then if we talk to our kids, it's going to be passed on. So, you know, beforehand, no one was talking about it. It's all in the paper now. It's all out here. So they see this.
On June 21st in 1970, the Akron Beacon Journal published an article titled, How Area's Road Building Program Stacks Up. The article states that the Akron chapter of the American Institute of Architects criticized the planned route of the Innerbelt. They stated that the second section of the freeway would wipe out a black business district and foster segregation. They then proposed two alternate routes for the freeway. Akron's city planners at the time made the decision to continue with the original plan for the route.
Even though I got out, I felt like I didn't, because I left my friends here, you know, and I left a piece of a legacy of where I grew up and where my aunts and cousins lived at down here. You know, I left that, and knowing, you know, what they had to struggle through, because they didn't give them enough to purchase what they needed up on the hill. So they had to make do.
The Innerbelt Neighborhood Stories are produced by me, Roger Riddle. Our executive producers are Liz Ogbu of Studio O and the City of Akron. Our music is by Flaco Torres, with additional sounds by Become Stardust. Special thanks to Summer Hall, Fred Wheat, Dylan Garitano, Mike Meyer, the Ohio and Erie Canalway Coalition, and a special thank you to the Reconnecting Our Community Advisory Committee.